speak about prophetic things. We kind of gear the service so that it's more prophetically geared and for bringing a word of the Lord during worship. The worship is often more spontaneous, and we do prophetic ministry on these nights, and we're so thankful for the opportunity that's given to us. The leadership here at Voice has a burden for the prophetic, and this is kind of one of our outreach nights, and so we're so thankful to have this chance and this opportunity. And before we go any further tonight, I just wanted to, I'm getting more and more word of people who are sick. My wife isn't well. I know Dave Raymer isn't well, and I've heard there's something going on, and I just believe that the church has authority over sickness. I mean, isn't that what Jesus, didn't he give us authority over that? So let's just stand in agreement, and let's take authority over that. We just take authority in the name of Jesus over any spirit of infirmity, any flu, any sickness, anything that's not of the Lord Jesus Christ, anything that has come against this region and the churches and even in our cities, we break the power that could be there that's not of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our heavenly authority supersedes any natural truth or any kind of natural matter. So our divine authority, we exercise it now over sickness, and we break it in Jesus' name. And we just call forth for divine health over every church, over every ministry. We just say this church, this region is going to be a light and is a light that is for many to come to. And we just declare divine health over this region in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, my name is Roy Miller. I'm the director of the prophetic ministry and part of the leadership here at Voice Ministries. I've been involved in prophetic ministry for quite a long time. I forget how many years. I know it's a good number, over 10. You know, I've been doing it for a while. I love it. It's part of my greatest passion. My greatest passion is intimacy with God. I love to hear Him speak to me. I love to understand what He's saying. If God's talking to me, I want to know what He's saying. Amen? And one of the things He's called me to do is to help justify and to help be like a standard bearer for the prophetic ministry in this region. Not just me, but many of us. That I have a special burden for the credibility and the validity of the prophetic ministry. I've had an amazing opportunity to see so many lives impacted by the life that comes from God's spoken word. And we can see people that come in, and within just a couple moments, there's so much more new hope, so much change, there's deliverance, there's healing. There's so many things. It's like God's prescription sometimes for the moment. And it's amazing what a one word from God can do. Even if it seems simple to us, when it's filled with the power of God, it's limitless. Amen? But tonight we're going to do something a little bit different. Oftentimes I like to bring a teaching or a lesson about the prophetic, about hearing God, about things that are going on with our spiritual senses. Hebrews 5:14 says, solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good from evil. Do you know you have senses that God gave you that are prophetic senses that are meant to be able to discern, to be able to tell the difference between that which is good and that which is profane, that which is evil and that which is holy? You guys with me? You guys know you have those senses? We have more than five senses. There's many senses. Oftentimes, our spiritual senses reflect that in the natural realm. Our natural senses that are in the natural realm are just a reflection or a representation of what we have in the spirit realm. How many of you know that Jesus said, to those who have eyes to see and ears to hear? You know, He wasn't talking about these ears. I mean, what kind of a statement would that be when He's standing in a crowd of people and they're all looking at Him and listening to what He's saying, right? Because He would make a statement and He would say to those who have ears to hear. This had to do with people's ability to understand and perceive spiritual truth. Well, I don't, one of the things that we really work hard not to do is cultivate an elitist type of attitude and spirit in the prophetic. Like, you know, oh, I'm more spiritual than you, and let me quake and shake a little bit. And get a word. Maybe a word will come like an egg. You know, like a chicken is about ready to have an egg. Maybe if I do it, you know what I'm talking about? There can be this elitist thing like, oh, don't you wish you were me. I'm holy. You're holy, but you're not quite as holy as me. Let me prove it to you. I'm going to bring a prophetic word. Are you guys with me? We work against that because that is not, that's not genuine. That's fake. It's flimsy. It's for the approval of man. It's to try to impress people. How many of us know prophetic ministry was not made by God to impress people? And so many times we try to, you know, we think, and I don't say we, I'm not talking about really anyone here, but we work very hard to not cultivate that kind of elitist, super spiritual type of behavior and attitude. To me, it's sickening. It's fake. It's cheesy. There's nothing real about it. If we find ourselves doing it, we should try to eradicate that from our life. One of the things that we try to be really careful about, and see, one of the reasons I say this, because that's what's contributed over the years in the past to giving the prophetic a bad name. People are like, there's one of these prophetic guys. Oh, brother, here we come. Here comes the drama. I bet they're going to want you to do this or want you to do that. You know, there's just, it's not even so much today because there's been a lot of hard work to try to, and Voice Ministries has been a big part of that. Not only Voice Ministries, but many other churches that are local. I know Open Door Christian Fellowship has done an awful lot, you know, and there's been many other churches. I don't want to leave anybody out, you know, Napanee, there's many. And so one of the reasons I'm bringing this up is titles are often a big part of the one of the things we're called to do, what I'm called to do, is demythologize the prophetic ministry. Bring it down to everyone's level that all of us are called to prophesy. Did you know that? We're all called to prophesy. If you are a child of God, you have an inheritance to hear His voice and to proclaim the truths of God. It's that simple. Prophecy, just say inspired or Spirit-led. Let's get rid of the P word if we need to, and let's get that the whole, you know, Cain and the sackcloth and ashes and all the different things, you know, let me pump my staff and let me, you know, speak an old King James Dederick so that you'll think that I'm holy or that I sound more spiritual. Are you guys with me? So we're careful of titles, and if there is a title, we want God to title us. Some places that you go, you got to call them by their proper name or they get offended. You guys know what I'm talking about? Boy, you better not call so-and-so a pastor if they're a pastor. You better make sure you put that in there, or an elder or a deacon or a bishop or whatever it would be anymore, apostle or prophet or whatever. Yeah? And, you know, sometimes what can happen is we can get so into that we really just, the thing that matters the most is that there's no greater title that I know of than being a son of God or a daughter of God. Do you guys? Now call me a son of God, and that right there is a compliment. And so, but tonight there are functions. There is the fivefold ministry. There are teachers. There are pastors. We don't want to be silly about things. We just don't want to insist on having a title. And if you don't call me by my title, I get offended. Yeah? And so let's let God title us, or let's let people title us in a way that is balanced and that is right and the way that is pleasing to the Holy Spirit. But tonight I'm going to put on what I would say like my prophet mantle. Now, I don't claim to be a prophet. I think that I have a calling to go down that road some way. But what I believe a mature prophet is, I know I'm certainly not. And I honestly don't know anybody in this region that is a mature prophet. I think there's many of us that are pits, prophets in training, and we're on that road and we're heading that way. But there are times that God would have us, you know, we're prophetic ministers. I like that, prophetic ministers. But tonight I'm going to put on kind of like the jacket of a prophet or the mantle of a prophet. And I'm going to prophesy something to you or share something to you that I believe God give me as a prophetic declaration, not only for this region, but for the body of Christ. The new kingdom age. How many of you, if you guys got notes, if you need notes, we have notes back there. I'm just going to give a brief intro here. I wrote it down for you because I want to be accountable to you. And I believe that the Lord has shared this with me. It's been tried. It's been tested. And I believe it's God. And so this summer I received an invitation to come speak at a pastor's intercessory meeting. And I was invited to speak and to share on what I believe that the Lord is doing in the region and at large. And I wasn't really in a place where I knew that. I wasn't seeking the Lord, and sometimes I'm not geared that way. You know, we do a lot of personal prophecy, and there's so much going on, like, in our city, in our church, that sometimes I don't really spread my wings to soar outside of those boundaries. You know, I hear a little bit what's going on. I do read prophetic words from others that are posted on the internet and things, and I check, you know, that's how I can tell different things. But sometimes if God just doesn't speak to me, I just pray into what I already know is going on. But so I had this invitation, so I decided that I would ask the Lord if there was anything that he wanted to share with me, if there was anything that he had that was new to share with me for the purpose of making his plans and purposes known beyond what was already realized, what I already knew. So I did. And he spoke to me. He shared me some things with me. And it was, in some ways, I must admit, I was a little surprised because I wasn't expecting it. And so he began to show me how the body of Christ has been being prepared for kingdom stewardship, and that the body of Christ is at the final stages of transitioning from the church age into the kingdom age. Now, there could be a lot of preparation, a lot of groundwork. We just don't have the time for it to explain what the kingdom is, what the kingdom of God is. If you don't know what that is, I want to urge you to look into it. I want to urge you to study that and to look in the Bible and find out. I know that around 1997 or 1996, I had never heard of the kingdom. That was me. That revelation and that teaching had never come my way. It just wasn't spoke about very much. And we start getting more into the 2000s, you start hearing more about it, you start seeing more about it. But the issue of the kingdom is something that we read in the Bible, and often it's like, well, this is for a future people. There are things here that, you know, the Bible says that the kingdom is within us. But oftentimes we don't understand that. How do you unlock that then? How do you walk in that? It takes a maturity. Do you believe that there's a divine timeline? There are those that by faith and who've been prepared ahead of time to, I believe, give us a divine, you know, there's like this... what I would call like a sanctified jealousy or divine jealousy to go into higher, deeper things of God. That if that person can do it, I can do it too. You know, are you guys knowing what I'm talking about? And not an unholy jealousy, but a divine thing. And something that God would spur us into, almost like, you know, let me show you what's available, and you can have this too. And so anyway, I believe that the Lord was... speaking to me and has continued to speak to me that the church has been transitioning out of the church age into the kingdom age. And I'm going to explain a little bit more about that. But before I do, we're just going to watch like a 6-minute video about the kingdom of God, about just what, anybody know who Bill Johnson is from Redding, California? He just had something good things to say in this quick video, and I just thought that he could put it better and say it better in some words than what I could. So we're just going to quickly watch this video here, and then I'll pick up where I left off. Matthew 6, 7 through 10, this was Jesus speaking to the disciples, and he said, "When you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do." You know the heathen pray? They pray to their heathen gods. "For they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.'" There is the reality of heaven coming to earth. And remember Jesus spoke several times and he says, this has happened. You know this has happened. When this is happening, you know that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He said that over and over. I think most of us understand the idea of what the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven is supposed to be. We have a future that's incredible. God has already told us what's going to happen. That he is going to rule and reign. Amen? That his kingdom will be completely and fully established. And we as the children of God are called to step into this, to call this down, to help spearhead this, to see to it that His will is fulfilled on the earth as we walk it out, as we become more like Him. He is able to give us more of His authority, more of His grace. We become great representers. Not only are we sons and daughters of God, but we are ambassadors of Christ. We represent Him. We act like Him. We have kingdom authority. You know, there's been a restoration in the 20th century. There was a lot of things that began to happen. Everybody, I don't know if you know, but that from the book of Acts, and when we see in the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, it hasn't always been that way. I mean, there was, you know, like we call the Dark Ages. There was much of where the Word of God wasn't even accessible to the common people on the earth. There was much which was lost. And God began to restore many things, and in a very short period of time. The restoration of the fivefold headship ministries is one of the primary things that we saw happen in the last century. Sometimes I think we read the Bible, we don't always realize how much time it's taken for all this stuff to take place. Ephesians 4:10 speaks about the fivefold ministry. I'm just going to read this quick so that everyone is familiar with what I'm talking about. Ephesians 4:10 through 13 says, "He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things," this being Christ. "And he himself gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service or for ministry, for the edifying and the building up of the body of Christ, until we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure, the stature of the fullness in Christ." How many know we're not there yet? Until we get there, the fivefold ministry will be needed and necessary according to the Word of God. In the 1950s, we begin to see the office of the evangelist being restored. In the 1960s, the office of the pastor. 70s, the office of the teacher. 80s, the office of the prophet. 90s, the office of the apostle. It wasn't long that I heard that Bill Hammond, a man who I believe is a mature prophet today, he prophesied the third and final reformation. And we're in a time where God is restoring things back that was lost. Bill Hammond wrote a book called The Day of the Saints. And there's prophets and saints, not just prophets, but you know, when you're a son or a daughter of God, the Holy Spirit lives inside you, you can't help be prophetic. You can't help be Spirit-led. You can't help but be inspired by God. God gives you dreams and visions and many things. He speaks and communicates to us all the time. Graham Cook says, he's a talker, isn't he? He's a talker. God has always got something to say to us, encouraging. And He always wants to share with us something to co-labor with Him in. We should know that God doesn't need our help to do these things. He can do it all by Himself if He wants to. But we're called to be co-laborers. There's a time that it has been prophesied about, that has been seen, called like the Day of the Saints, where the average saint is going to minister and operate in the grace and the power of God higher at any level, higher than the highest leveled minister today. When I say highest leveled, the ones who had the greatest anointing to heal, to prophesy, for signs and wonders and miracles, to teach, to be able to pull out the truth that is hidden in the Word of God, to be able to lead people. God is going to, Joel 2:28 in Acts 2, I think 17 says that God is going to pour out His Spirit on all flesh. And sons and daughters are going to prophesy. Old men will have visions and young men will dream dreams. Even on His maidservants or God's bondservants, He's going to pour out His Spirit in those days. Now, the dreams and visions things, that's a metaphor. Because we know that children dream, right? But dreams are harder to understand. So it takes old men, old women in the Spirit, the mature, to understand those things. Visions tend to be more literal. And you don't have to have as much spiritual wisdom to understand them. But we're coming into a time that has been given to us that we're called among the greatest generation to ever live. That I believe that we're called to equip the greatest generation that there will ever be. Some of us are part of that, the younger. Some of us are called to train. What an honor to train the greatest generation. What a responsibility. Are you ready? Do you know how to use your gifts? Can you understand your dreams? How can we help interpret dreams that others have if we can't even understand ours? It's a great responsibility. The Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. Many of us want this incredible power to do amazing things, but there's such a terrible price to pay for it. The church has paid a terrible price. There's been tremendous breaking and suffering and humbling that has taken place even 12 years in the church, in the last 12 years. The prophetic revelation number 2 on page 2, or the second side of your page there, I believe God has communicated to me, and so I take personal responsibility in this, but I also declare and prophesy it. I believe God has communicated to me that He is transforming the body of Christ from a church age mentality and lifestyle into a kingdom age mentality and lifestyle. That we're in transition, and that 2013, I don't do a lot of the New Year's prophecies, not that I have anything against them, but I think after a while they just kind of got flat, and a lot of things that people said didn't come to pass, and this, that, and the other. And so unless God gives it to me, I don't try to come up with something for the new year. But when I was preparing for this a couple weeks ago, I was actually asleep, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and I asked the Lord what He wanted me to speak on tonight. And I had something else in mind. There was a series of things I've been wanting to speak on and teach on. And I asked the Lord to share with me what He wanted me to say. And what I'm talking about tonight was not even on my grid, was not even on, you know, at all, something I thought He wanted me to share. So I began to fall deeper into sleep, and it began to settle more and more into me. And He showed me this and told me this. I saw outlines, and it was like hours of the night went by, and I wanted to wake up and write a lot down. There's a lot that He hasn't even, I can't even tell you now. Not because you're like, because I'm so spiritual, because I don't know. It's like He sealed it. Job 33, verse 14 through 18, it speaks about that God speaks in one way or another, yet man does not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men while slumbering in their bed, He opens the ears of men and women and seals their instruction. And so I think there was a sealing that took place. But what now I think God wants just to be spoken of is that we are coming out of the church age into a kingdom age. And I'm not necessarily speaking or currently referring to any theological or eschatological ideologies, like, you know, where I'm going to look in the book of Revelations and point out the trumpet and say, here we are on the timeline. That's not what I'm trying to do. In other words, I'm not currently trying to say this is that, or point out some scriptural reference to you and say we're at this point. But even it's like Bob Deering, I don't know if many of you were here last Sunday, he began to talk about how the Bible spoke how that He was going to draw Israel back to their homeland, and He was going to cause the vineyards and the trees and all different kinds of things to flourish. He says, that's what's going on now. How many have been to Israel? Anybody? Then you're a testimony. You see the richness in the land. And there's like they're able to do things that others haven't been able to do with that kind of soil and that kind of landscape. It's desert, but they're turning it into an oasis. The Lord is doing it through them. So I'm not trying to point that, but we're in a time where it's easy to see things are changing. But that's not what I'm not just trying to say, hey, maybe I could probably get up and share something and everyone kind of agree it. This is something I feel like God really wants to be released. And so, you know, the body of Christ is growing from knowing about God to knowing God. How many of you have been walking with the Lord for 15 years at least? Think back in the 90s. Have you seen a difference in the maturing in yourself and even the church where we were? Man, we're doing a lot of fluff, a lot of foam. We're talking about God. We got 27 attributes of God. That's great to know about God, talk about God. But you know, there's a difference. You can tell someone who knows God and someone who knows about God. There's that intimacy there. There's a difference. Daniel 11:32 says, but the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. We don't see a lot of great exploits today. Let's be real. We talk about it. We may have had a few encounters and a few experiences, but we're called to be a people who live and walk this thing out, yeah? It's been given to us. So the body of Christ is growing. This is what I feel like the Lord showed me. It's from a slave and orphan mentality and lifestyle to a sons and daughters mentality and lifestyle. Like the slave would be like from a religious performance-based spirituality. I have to earn my salvation, inheritance by works. I'm here every single day of the week. There's not a day that I'm not in the church, bless God. I'm the pastor's pet. There's nothing that I can't do. They trust me with the key to the church. I'm up to be promoted as elder. Let me show you my stats. Hey, I've been there. I understand that. And that's what religion is performance-based spirituality. It's really a slave mentality. Remember how much problem God had to Israel when he delivered them from Egypt? They had a slave mentality. They didn't believe that God would provide for them in the lean times. As an orphan, I have to mark my territory and defend and guard what is mine. And our church is the best and we're God's favorite. Come on, you guys have seen that in the church before, haven't you? Especially in the previous years. It's been something that really people who are non-believers, they smell it from a mile away. They can tell it. It's like, what's up with this group? What's up with these guys? But I'm not going to go suck up to that guy. Why do I need to do that? Why do I need to get brownie points with that guy? And we sometimes bestow too much honor on man. Even if they're great men or women of God, we have to make sure that we give honor to the degree into which is due. We want to honor one another, but we don't want to put people up on some pedestal that they don't have, that they're not able to handle that kind of weight. Yeah? So an orphan is always trying to defend and take what is theirs. A son already knows, hey, I've already got the, you know, I've heard of, I'm trying to think of her name. They call her Mama Heidi Baker, Mama Heidi. And they talk about that when I heard the story that they will bring orphans in or new children that have been orphans into their home, but then they'll always make sure that some of those that they have ministered to as their own children and father and mother are in the house with them. And this is why, because the orphans are afraid to go to the refrigerator. They're afraid to make themselves at home. But those that are sons and daughters, they make themselves at home. They know that they've got the freedom. They got the liberty, that they're favored and that they're loved. Orphans think, I'm not loved. And I have to earn my love. I have to make my father happy before he will love me. And that's a plague in the church. It's been a plague in the church. When we are already loved before we were ever created. We're loved with an everlasting love, a love that we can't even right now understand. So as sons and daughters of God, this is, I'm talking, when I say I mean you, I have been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. And I'm chose to live, and I choose to live in a culture of honor, truly hoping that the Holy Spirit will pour out in every church and not just mine. How many of us, I mean, I've been in prayer groups before where we thought our prayer group was the one that God loved the most. Come on. Yeah? We're hoping the Holy Spirit pours out in our church and maybe a little bit more, and then other people want to come be a part of our church. Instead of it pouring out in every church. What's a father's heart? We can have a slave and an orphan mentality. And unfortunately, there's some churches that have raised slaves and orphans. But we're going into a kingdom age. How about you know that every saint is loved by God equally? He doesn't favor me over he favors you. He loves us with the same unconditional, everlasting love. There's not this scale. Well, Roy's done 3,574 works of service for me. And so he's here at this level, but they've only done 2,000, so they're down here at this level. So I love Roy a little bit more than I love them. It's not like that. Jesus paid for it all, didn't he? That's where we need to shift. There needs to be a cultural shift. There needs to be a change in our thinking. Whenever we think that God loves us more, we need to go after that thought. That's a lie. So this is the last part. I'm wrapping up the message here, and what I feel like the Lord wanted me to share is the body of Christ has been in labor. The body of Christ has been laboring to birth a new generation. The Holy Spirit in us, your father, your father's mother, your uncle, your aunt, there's been this trickling down and a sifting down and a refining down of the people of God. You know that the last generation will be the holiest generation? Yeah? You guys with me? You reading the Bible that I'm reading? Our children, I believe we're part of that last generation. But I believe that there's something yet to take place. And what I saw the Lord show me, and maybe I'm wrong, but I believe this was the Lord, is we begin to come out of the church age right before the year 2000. And the 2000s have been 12 years of laboring. How many prophetic promises are still yet to be filled by for some of you? There are some people who give up on their prophetic words. The 2000s have been rough. Come on, let's get real. God's refined us. He's pruned us. There's been it's different than what it was before 2000. There's been a change. The grace isn't the same. God has been preparing us. And since January 2012, the Holy Spirit spoke a phrase over and over to me that I believe speaks of where we are now and where we are on God's agenda for the near future. I heard the Spirit say over and over, birth pangs of a new generation. Birth pangs of a new generation. Can we really be the generation that's going to be part of the last generation that's going to usher in the coming of the Lord? Could that be us? Are we really the ones that are called to step into the kingdom lifestyle, take our inheritance? You know, the Bible says that we're called to be stewards of the mysteries of the kingdom of God. There's so much I don't know about the kingdom of God. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of stewarding that's yet for me to be fulfilled. There's a lot that's available for us. I think sometimes we can settle. And then we think, man, that bar is a little higher. I'm not sure I'm wanting to put forth the extra effort to get there. Come on, let's be real, right? Man, things are okay. They're not too bad right now. But to go farther, to push harder, to fast more, to pray more, sometimes it's not any of those things. It's just sitting and waiting on the Lord. How much time does God get of your day? How much time do you give him? I've asked that question to myself. I've asked it to others. Sometimes we're too embarrassed to tell the truth. We would not want no one to know how much we spent time in the Bible and how much time we gave to God. I'm not trying to beat up on everybody. I'm just saying, this is our state. This is our condition. And then what the Lord's saying is that 2013, the boat's shoving off. We're leaving the church age. We've either got to get on board or we're going to stay in the old wineskin. I believe that there's the spiritually dry and lean times within the body of Christ. I said this before, the year 2000 has been a direct result of the birthing process to start the manifesting of the sons and the true sons and daughters of the kingdom. Romans 8:14 says, "For all who are being led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God." How many of us are being led by the Spirit of God? I think we have moments, but is our lifestyle that we're being led? Romans 8:19 says, "For the anxious longing, all of creation waits for the anxious longing of the creation, waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God." Boy, I butchered that. "For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God." For the manifesting of the sons of God. There's an appointed people. There's a generation that's referred to as the son of God. And all of creation groans and awaits for this time period. And I'm prophesying to you now that it's begun. It's begun with some here and there already in the past, but we're coming this year, the boat shoving off, and we're going to see a change and to see a difference. Picture in your mind a great ship. It takes a while for it to get off, get out and get going. Usually the waters are turbulent behind the boat, right? It takes a lot of force to get it off, but momentum is going to pick up, and we don't want to be left behind. We don't want to be offended by the new things that God's doing. We don't want to be stuck in our rut because we learned how to do things good and this way is working for me, but now we're still in the old wine. I believe there has been a gradual weaning off of the old wine so to acquire a desire and a taste for the new wine. You guys know what I'm talking about, the old wine and the new wine? Jesus said, "Who will taste the old wine?" Those it talks about the difference between the old wine and the new wine. In fact, I got it right here. Let me just read this. Luke 5. 36 to 39, "And he being Jesus, was also telling them a parable. No one tears a piece of cloth from a new garment and puts it on an old garment. Otherwise, he will both tear the new, and the piece from the old will not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, otherwise the new wine will burst the skins, and it will be spilled out, and the skins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. And no one after drinking the old wine wishes for the new. For he says, the old is good enough. The old church age is the old wine. Are you with me? There is a new wine that the Holy Spirit is busting the corks from and pouring into us. We've been being prepared. We've been through 12 years of preparation. Where he's given us a little sip of the new. Let us cutting us off on the old, weaning us off the old. I see some pictures and some things and some videos of the old, and I'm kind of like, oh my goodness, we were really like that? Come on, you guys with me? How many church splits over the color of the carpet? How many people offended at it? So-and-so's, the dresses to their knees and not their ankles. And there's so many things that has divided us, and the world's like, there's more love in a bar. Come on. I remember when I first came to church, it was about 17 years ago, I went into a church and there was more love in the bars that I would come out of than the church that I went to. We've got to be a people that the world is drawn to, and it's not going to happen with the old wine. The old wine is, are you a believer? That sounds even cultish if you listen to it. The believers and the unbelievers. Yeah? We need to challenge our thinking, our theology, our lifestyle, our behavior. We have to be careful that we don't get in such entrenched in such religious thinking and traditional thinking that we can't see the new kingdom of God on the horizon. We're coming into a new church age, and that means, I tell you, I want to be weaned off the old. There's been a weaning off, but God has been giving us a new test. You know what the main ingredient is, the secret ingredient? Intimacy and love of God. God, there was a church age, it was doing the stuff. Doing. God is trying to wean us off of doing into being. You know how hard it is for me to sit down and just wait on God? I've got all these things I need to do. You have to deliberately neglect certain things. The ship's taken off. Whether you see it as a boat and a big vessel leaving the shore, or a harbor, or a rocket leaving the launching pad. It takes time. There's force. There's push. There's turbulent air and water in the whole taking off and launching off process. But 2013 is the launching off, according to what the Lord has told me. And I expect there will be some sort of confirmations from other voices, from other places. And so test this. Pray. Ask the Lord. Seek the Lord. See what He would say to you. What we're doing here is we're just kind of drawing a spiritual line in the sand with a great expectation and say, God, prepare me. I hope I'm on the ship right now. I don't want to like get clarity and realize the ship is up there and I got to try and get through all the turbulent waters to catch up. Are you guys with me? I just want you to pray with me real quick and then we're going to transition into stage ministry. Lord God, if this is true, if this is a time that you are starting the new kingdom age and we're coming into, if we're coming of age and we're stepping into the new kingdom age, help us to be ready, God. Help us to know. We ask you to confirm it to us. We ask you to give us whatever means of confirmation. Show us things that we're doing that could hinder us stepping into the new kingdom era, into the new kingdom age. Lord, are we still on the old wine? Help us to get a taste for the new. That we would be the new wineskins that your Spirit would be able to fill. We just ask you to reveal to us anything personally, anything specific, anything on your heart that's bothering you, or anything that's on your heart that could limit us from stepping into the inheritance and to the assignment that you've given us. We just thank you for who you are and how you keep us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Now, as we're just going to let the Holy Spirit show us, God is going to show us. We're going to try to give you a quick prophetic word. You'll be able to get this prophetic word by getting the CD for tonight. You'll go to the CD booth out there in the hall, and you just put whatever the money is for the CD and sign your name. And for the date, get the date, today's date, and you should be able to get your CD. So, the gentleman right there with a black sweatshirt on with white writing. Yeah, what's your name, sir? Chris. Chris, I feel like that there's been some challenging situations over the years that you found yourself in. And it's just like I see the Lord faithful to rescue you out of these situations. I feel like even some things that you would do your best to avoid situations, but somehow things would work against you. And I hear the Lord say, son, the enemy has worked to disappoint you, to fatigue you, to wear you down, and to make you believe that you have bad luck or that I don't care for you. But the Lord says these are lies, and the plans of the enemy that's come against you, the Lord says, have failed, as I have kept you even in the hollow of my hand. And I've been speaking to you, even within the last 2 months especially, I've been speaking to you personal things that are on my heart about how I feel about you and what I've called you to do. And the Lord says, I've given you an ability to evangelize and even a desire to reach out to those who are unsaved. But there are many skills that I've given you, even as I called you to be a leader. And the Lord says, continue to humble yourself. Continue to press into my word. Even sing to me in the places that you feel free. Sing to me. But the Lord says, I desire to release to you even a greater understanding of my love, even a greater measure of anointing. But the Lord says, you've been going through a pruning, but don't be discouraged, but you're getting ready to come out, and you're coming out with more fruit than before. But I just see the Lord like aligning you, and it's just like you're coming into a sacred time that the Lord has prepared for you. So God bless you.
Gentleman right there in a brown shirt. What's your name? Clint? Clint, I heard the term over you, fisher of men. And just as a fisherman prepares different equipment for different fish, you have different line, test lines, and the different hooks and all the different bait. There's a lot to going fishing. I feel like the Lord is giving you fresh strategy for the people that are in your life for you to share Jesus with. And it's not the same for each person. And I feel like he's releasing a fresh strategy for you, for each individual person. And I just feel like I hear the Lord say, don't forsake any of them around you, that they're in your life for a reason and a purpose. So just open your eyes wide open to see them. And I feel like he's just encouraging you, strengthening your gifts in this season. I feel like there's also a speaking gift and other things in you that I just feel like the Lord is encouraging you and strengthening you, and he's doing some new things in you. So I just feel like to be encouraged that the Lord notices the little things that you do. I feel like you have a servant's heart, and he notices the little things that you do for those around you. So just be blessed in that.
Okay, the fourth row back, there's about a row of five ladies sitting there. The lady right in the middle, the dark hair. Yeah, right there. What's your name, ma'am? Nancy? Okay. I've just got some impressions that I feel like were for you, just to encourage you. I don't know what you do, but I saw you like in an office, and there was other ladies, you were working among other ladies, and it was like, I felt like that you were, God's heart is to promote you, and that you're going to find yourself in a position of influence, and I just feel like that the Lord's saying to you, when you find yourself in that position, take it. Don't be afraid of that. I feel like there's an anointing on you to organize and also just to encourage and to raise up other younger ladies than you or those that are less mature than you to walk. So I just really want to just charge you with that spirit of encouragement and a spirit of leadership on your life.
And in that same row, over there's a woman with a black sweater, blonde hair. Yes. And you are?
Robin,
I heard the word treasure. The Lord has a treasure within you, and especially your dedication for the Lord is a treasure to him. It is a gift that you have and that you are also sharing with others. And then I saw you as a little girl. There were things that you ran toward as a little girl. There were situations you liked to be a part of. There's a key in that for your future. The Lord is going to stir up your gifts. The Lord is going to take you into some areas you've not been before. But you will remember the past, and the Lord will say, this is mine for you. I'm giving it to you. I'm stirring you up. And then I heard that the Lord is going to lift your head above your enemies. Okay, round about you. And I saw almost like a fog, and your head was being lifted above that. You were going to see very clearly and not be shaken.
Okay, the couple in the back row back over here with the sweater and the sweatshirt on. Yeah, you guys, what's your names? Eric and Alicia? Felicia. Okay, Eric and Felicia. The first thing I heard the word arm's length, or the phrase arm's length, and I just sense that there's been some things closing in on you, and almost like inside your personal space, and I just see you guys kind of holding things out at arm's length and trying to keep things at a safe distance, or I hear the word safe harbor too. But I really believe that God is calling you guys in this season to let your guard down, not against the enemy, but against the wisdom of men. And I just see you guys opening up your hearts. I just see some people that maybe you kept at arm's distance before. I see them coming towards you, and I see you letting your guard down. And I hear God saying that he's doing a great work in both of your hearts, and I even censor some things that I hear the word residue and some things that were left over from before that God has been stripping away, and he's been removing some things. It's almost like he's stripping the paint down before he's getting ready to put a new paint job on there. So I really hear God saying this is not a season to withdraw or to pull back or anything like that. But this is just a really, I think of the scripture, I think it's 1 Corinthians 2:12. And it says that we did not receive the spirit of the world, but we received the spirit of God so that we might know the things that God has freely given to us. And I just hear God saying, this is going to be a season where he's unveiling, I believe he's already doing it now, but he's unveiling the secret treasures that he has for you. So I hear him saying, this is a time to look, this is a time to search, this is a time to discover. And I hear him saying, you're gonna discover some things that you didn't even know were right in front of you.
Gentleman back there with a red striped shirt, you're sitting next to another man with a blue shirt. What's your name, sir? John? John, do you sing? No? I feel like the Lord would have you sing. Maybe you don't sing around people. That's kind of the way I am. It's best if I sing alone. But I feel like the Lord would have you sing. That a God is kind of like a prescription going to the good physician. That he's giving you a prescription to sing. And in this singing, many things are going to take place and takes place for you. But find a way to sing, get a place to sing. I feel like the Lord is just kind of like opening up your pipes, so to speak. You know, like some of the old organs, they'll get clogged. You need to blow the pipes clean. And I feel like that there's a spiritual cleansing that God wants to take place through singing and worshiping him. And I hear the Lord say, son, this is a time that I'm going to put a new demand on your gifts and on your abilities. For there are many tools and talents that I've given you that are meant to help others and to fulfill the things that others aren't able to do, or to accomplish things that others aren't able to do. It's like I see a big toolbox, and it has to do with skills, spiritual skills, strengths, and abilities. And I heard the Lord say, son, you're a gifted one, and I made you gifted. And I've called you to not only be a resource and a help for man, but the Lord says to advance my body. And that there's even a teaching gift that I've given you to speak the truth of my word and to be able to put into simple terms deep wisdom. And the Lord says, son, I'm have you in training. I have you in preparation. But this is a time to really take seriously the time you're in. It's almost, I feel like you don't recognize fully where you are in your timeline, your divine timeline. And I hear the Lord say, come sit before me. Come prepare yourself, because there's new assignments. I feel like the Lord is going to come to you in the night in dreams, and that the Lord is just going to share things with you. He's tuning your ability to hear and your ability to see what he's saying, that there's a great work that he's taken you through. But I just see you're just like right at that place where you're ready for some new things, and God's about to give it to you. So bless you, brother.
Over here, the young man way in the back. John, I think that's your son. What's your name? Trevor. Trevor, I heard the word over you, unhindered worshiper. And I really feel like you are in the school of worship, that the Lord is really teaching you in this season of time. I feel like you're in the word and just really studying it, and that there's you have a real heart connection with the Lord when you worship. And I saw you going down a ski slope, kind of like those slaloms where they have to go around the gates. And if they blow one gate, they get disqualified and they lose it. And I feel like the enemy has been trying to sow disqualification into your life. And I feel like others have been trying to do that. But the Lord is saying that you are not disqualified, that you are qualified, that he is equipped you, that he's teaching you, he's guiding and he's leading you. I feel like there's the world would call it charisma. But I feel like there's a favor on you, that people are drawn to you, and that the generation that you're in is drawn to you for some reason. And you're like, you don't understand it. But I feel like that's something that the Lord has given you to be able to sow into their lives, this unhindered worship that's in you. It's contagious, and the Lord wants it to be contagious for a reason and a purpose. So I just feel like he's training you up to walk that out in the fullness of it. So just be before the Lord and say, Lord, what do you want from me? What do you want me to do with this? I just feel like I just see you really just soaking in the word and just really taking it all in from the Lord. And there's a favor on you, and he has qualified you. So walk in the qualification of the Lord. Amen.
Okay, the lady over here that's sitting in the back row, you got an orange scarf on. Yes, what's your name? Elsie? Kelsey. Okay. Kelsey, I just felt like that you really catch the Lord's eye, and I feel like that he's given you a gift to worship him, and in this season, he's really drawing you in. He's just really saying, just come closer, come closer, and I feel like that a part of that gift is just the ability to express, your expression really touches his heart, and so I'm just going to just challenge you to really press into that, and I just really see that as you do that, just a lot of growth taking place, a lot of development. I see you as a leader. I see you as a teacher. I see the Lord raising you up to teach many, to even the whole thing with just expression and worship and intimacy towards God. I just feel like so. Just remember, a gift to worship God and to express, and leadership and teaching. I see that down the road for you. So be blessed, Kelsey.
Here in the second row with a gray vest and shirt, your name is Derek. Derek, I hear the word warrior. God has called you. You may not see yourself as that, but the Lord says, I've given you discernment, and you discern things. You discern differences. You discern dynamics. You discern what's going on. And the Lord says, I've given you that ability so that you can call forth my word and my plan and my desire and my design, and it's going to happen. The Lord said, because my word will not return void. So the Lord says, stand. Stand in that place of discernment and bring my heart, and turn away the thoughts of men. And then I hear also that something may have happened when you were 2 years old that was a setback for you, but God wants to restore that. He wants to bring back to you something that was taken, and that he will restore the years the locust has eaten. So expect that and praise him and watch it happen.
Okay, you three gentlemen right here in the front, second row. What's your guys' names? Jared, John, and Clayton? Jeremy, okay, sorry, Jeremy. Jeremy, John, and Clayton, right? Okay, well, the first thing is, when I looked at you guys, I heard the phrase band of brothers, that you guys are closer than just friends, but that you guys are your buds, you know, you guys are, you stick out for each other, you look out for each other. But I heard God saying that he's giving you a real creative genius, a real creative inspiration, and I don't know if you guys, if it's independently or together or what, but that you have an idea or something you've been thinking about doing together or something that maybe a business venture or something like that. But I just hear God saying that you got the right idea, and he's giving you that idea, the right idea at the right time. And I hear God saying it's because I can trust you, that you guys are good stewards, and I know that you will honor me in all the glory and give me all the glory. And I also heard the word carte blanche, and I haven't heard that in a long time. But what that means, that it's like having a credit card with no limit. Okay, so I hear God saying that everything you need to accomplish that dream is going to come your way. So I hear God saying, watch the timing, because the timing is going to be everything in this, but I really sense that that God is in what you're doing. Amen.
Okay. Okay, if you guys want to go up front, then the team is going to come up front, and we're going to minister. If you want a personal prophecy, we're talking 1 or 2 minutes. You need to have your own recording device, whether it's a phone with an app or a recorder or something to write down. And we're going to minister to you just short prophetic words. These are words that we can't record for you, but we can minister to you. And so I also on this, I'm going to do just a couple real quick ones. This guy right here with a checkered shirt, blue and green on, I just see you as a great warrior. And I feel like the Lord just wants to speak to you about your manhood. Maybe that even being a man of God has been a little challenging, because some of the things in the church seems wimpy or seems even unmasculine. And even some, maybe the people that you know or friends or family that you know, it's like, you know, it's contrary to maybe some of your family upbringing or some of your history. But I hear the Lord say that he is going to use you as an example of what a real man is and what a real man of God looks like. And that he already has, but there's new things that he's going to do in your life. But I just hear the Lord say that he's going to make things right. It's almost like maybe you took a couple on the chin, for the Lord, and the Lord is going to make sure that he takes care of that at the right time for you. So, amen. And then one more real quick. Back here, the couple, you got your arm around. I'm assuming you're a couple, right? Husband, wife? Okay. I heard the Lord say delay. There's been a delay in some of the things that God has promised you, some of the things that you believe and have faith in. I don't know if you have children, but I felt like even something to do with your children, I don't know exactly what that looks like. Do you have children? Okay. I don't know what the delay is. Maybe it wasn't with your children, but I don't know. He isn't showing me that. But I feel like that there's been some tension that even the enemy has worked to try to divide, even in your relationship. And the Lord says your relationship is precious. And I just see him like binding you even greater together than what you already are. But I feel like there's been a delay in some of the answers that you've asked for, some of the direction that you've prayed for. And I just heard the Lord say, be prepared that you're coming into a time. I just see a harvest season before you, that you are being tested. It's like the word of the Lord testing you. You're going through a time of preparation, but the Lord says you're coming in with new momentum. Increase your faith, celebrate, and get ready, because new things are coming your way. Amen. Bless you. Okay. So if you want a personal prophetic word, go ahead and stand. And we got several ministers here. You can come right on up, find someone. And again, we're doing 1 or 2 minute prophecies. And so I'm going to go ahead and pray a prayer to release everyone else who may not want a word. So, Lord, we just thank you for every person here, every marriage, every family represented, every church and ministry. We bless in the name of Jesus. We just decree divine health over all. And, Lord, that everyone would prosper in the knowledge and understanding and knowing you and your word. We just pray for increase of every good and godly thing in Jesus' name. Bless you guys.